One of the things Brother Mark and I were discussing and fellowshipping about last night as we walked down a Mexican street filled with people, beautiful, searching, hungry people, 99% receptivity, by the way, to the gospel. And we passed out Jesus tracts and spoke the word to these people. So as we're doing that, we're fellowshipping about the parable of the talents, the truth found therein about being faithful right where we are right now. That's what God requires. In fact, to sum up Jesus's teaching in the parable of the talents, let us always remember that God only rewards and promotes those who are faithful right where they are with whatever it is that they presently have in their possession to use for his glory. This is the truth we see throughout scripture, including Jesus's parable of the talents in Matthew 25. I want you to read that. In fact, we have a podcast on that called Christ's Parable of the Talents. What is our Lord teaching us here in the parable of the talents? All you have to do is punch in the word talents on safeguardyoursoul.com on the search box, and it will come right up. And may God bless each of us to serve him today by serving others for his glory, right where we are right now with whatever we have, taking no thought for tomorrow, but rather trusting God to provide all. In fact, is God testing us right where we are? I don't think testing ever goes away till we're with him in glory. The Lord trieth the righteous, the Bible says. He tests us like he tested Abraham and found him to be faithful. And one of the things we should ask ourselves is, can God trust us? Now, we know we can trust him, but can he trust us? One of the heroes of the faith is Abraham. And many of the heroes of the faith have gone before us. And God's testimony of them, according to Hebrews 11, is that they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Remember, like them, we are passing through this life on earth. We are not here to stay. Hebrews 11, 13 through 16, these all died. Let me stop right here and say this, saints, if you don't mind, brother to brother. This is so important to grasp how God's kingdom operates. It operates concerning you as an individual on your faithfulness to God. God's perfectly faithful to us, but are we faithful to him like Abraham and all those who have gone before us and are in glory have been and were to him while they were on earth? Notice again, Hebrews 11, 13 through 16. These all died in faith, the heroes of the faith that he lists by name, a whole litany of them in Hebrews 11. So they all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. Notice they confessed and knew and reckoned with the fact that they were passing through here, created by God, saved by the Lord, and serving the Lord faithfully. They confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Remember, the scripture says, if any man love this world, the love of the Father is not in him. 1 John 2:15. If we're a friend of the world, we're the enemy of God. James 4:4. So let it be that we be found to be the friend of God, like Abraham, it says, and not of the world, not of this world system that is perishing. In fact, we read in 1 John 2:17 that the world, the whole system of the world passes away, but those who faithfully do the will of God, they're going to be with God forever. 1 John chapter 2, verse 17. And the world passeth away. See, didn't Paul say that the things which we see are temporary, but the things which are not seen with the human eye, but yet by faith in the word of God, are eternal? 2 Corinthians 4:18. That really helps me personally, in case it helps anybody else for me to say it, to have a faith that is projected into God and into the future he has promised those that love him. Those that love him. 1 Corinthians 2:9. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of men the things which God has prepared for them that love him. So those who love this world will not be with him. They're beholding the things that are seen with the human eye. They're not not living by faith. The Bible says, walk by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. The world that we see around us passes away. It's passing away. And the lust thereof, all the evil in it, the lust for the things of this world, instead of lusting after God himself, if you will. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Notice, not just he that says he does the will of God, because after all, he goes to church every Sunday. Oh, wow. He needs to, you know, give him a reward, right? No, that's not how it works. Doing the will of God means being in his word and obeying his word, and not anchoring yourself in some pastor, but in the pastor, the great shepherd of the sheep, Jesus Christ, John chapter 10, Hebrews 13, verse 20. So these patriarchs of the Lord confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Might it be wise for us to declare, Lord, I am yours, and I confess with your patriarchs that you love and have heralded as the heroes of the faith that I am a stranger and a pilgrim, one who's just passing through on the earth, here to glorify you, to love, worship, obey, and trust you. In Jesus' name, let it be in each of us, O God. Verse 14, Hebrews 11, for they that say such things declare, what do they declare? Plainly that they seek a country, that is the heavenly Jerusalem, their heavenly abode with the Father, the Son, and all the saints of the ages. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country, that would mean the earth, from whence they came out, were coming through and out of, they might have had opportunity to have returned, like Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife, Jesus said? She turned back and was turned into a pillar of salt. She perished. Jesus said, you must endure to the end to be saved. Anybody that's teaching you that you have no personal responsibility after Jesus saves you to obey him, to trust him, to endure to the end, is preaching another Jesus and another gospel, because that's not what Jesus taught. Jesus said, if you're in him and then you don't remain, you don't abide, you don't continue in him. In other words, if you look back like Lot's wife did, you're going to be cast into the fire. You're going to hell. That would be John 15, verse 6. Jesus himself twice said that to his own. He said, you must endure to the end to be saved. In the Gospel of Matthew, also Revelation 2 and 3. You got to keep his works to the end to be an overcomer, Revelation 2:26, etc. Now, verse 16, Hebrews 11, but now they desire a better country. Do you have an eternal perspective, beloved? Let me encourage you to read Revelation 21 and 22, the last two chapters of the Bible, and pray. Pray, God, give me an eternal perspective. Let me desire a better country. Somebody says, well, I'm having a hard time with this or that in the kingdom. I have a hard time, for example, right here, having an eternal perspective because I live in a temporal world. Well, let it begin in prayer today. Lord, when you see something in God's word, which we're seeing right here, several things, why don't we just begin in prayer, not try to muster it up ourselves, but ask the Lord to birth it and to revive it and to exponentially expand it inside of us. So it's actually real. It's the living word of God, the word living in us. Because if he said, this is what it's to be like, or these are my instructions, to set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth, Colossians 3, then he's going to do it when we ask him. Lord, help me to love you more. Help me to see with the eyes of faith and walk by faith today with you, not by sight. And to take no thought for tomorrow. Don't worry. I'm not going to worry about tomorrow. Isn't that what Jesus said? He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things are going to be added unto you. And don't take any thought for tomorrow. I'm already in tomorrow. I'll be there when you get there. I have never left you out to dry. I have never hung you out to dry. I have never let you down. And I'm not going to do it tomorrow because I'm unchanging. Can we trust God with today and tomorrow, saints? If we trust him with our tomorrow, our future, then we seek him first today. And we don't worry about the future. Tomorrow, that's what tomorrow represents in Matthew 6:33-34. And it's a good prayer to pray, Lord, let me live in the presence by faith in you and not worry about tomorrow. And to throw our hands up afresh and our hearts to the Lord and to ask him to increase our faith in him right now. Luke 17:5. But now they desire a better country. That would be the wayfaring men and women of God who profess that they were what? Strangers and pilgrims while they were on the earth. And that's what he's teaching us to do here in Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 is called the chapter of the heroes of the faith. I highly recommend you read it afresh and perhaps pour over it. And every one of the great examples. If you made it to Hebrews 11, if you're one of the patriarchs who's named there, then you are somebody that New Testament saints today can behold and can learn from. But now they desire a better country. That would be the heavenly Jerusalem, Revelation 21. That is an heavenly country, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. Why? Because they were not ashamed of him in this world. Didn't Jesus say, if you're ashamed of me, I'm going to be ashamed of you in the Gospels? He sure did. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. And that would be the city of the New Jerusalem, which is coming down from heaven. Revelation 21, check it out. So Abraham's willingness to offer his beloved son Isaac is quite the example of faith and living by faith and being faithful right where we are. Now, we can trust God, but can God trust us? That's the question. God tested and could trust. He found that he could trust Abraham, the beloved. Abraham's willingness to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice to God is a type or a typology there, a foreshadowing of the Father's love for and offering up Christ to be crucified, buried, and raised again from the dead to pay the ultimate redemption price for the sins of mankind. Genesis 22. Hebrews 11:17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, notice by faith, when he was tried or tested, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. So Abraham was obedient to God, and that was a typology of the father offering his son for the sins of the world. And it's also a lesson to us to trust God no matter what. Sometimes things have to die or they have to be offered up. They have to be viewed as less important. Him being our first love, as was the case with Abraham, who chose to love God more than his son that God had promised. So by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, he offered up his son Isaac and proved his faithfulness to God. And it should be noticed that before Abraham was tested by the Lord to offer up his son, this is the testimony of God about Abraham in Genesis 18:19. He says, for I know him, I know Abraham, that he will command his children and his household after me, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. So Abraham proved himself to be trustworthy to the Lord. And this was four chapters before chapter 22, where God tested Abraham to offer up his son Isaac, his promised son. And so this would also point to the fact that God is going to test us all the way to the end into eternal glory to test our faithfulness, our love for him. God commands, as Karen Cochran writes, obedience first and foremost. Abraham, she writes, obeyed the Lord's call on his life when he was told to go and leave the country he was in and leave all behind for a destination unknown. Abraham had to follow and depend on the Lord and to trust him by faith. This was a test of faith. And she finishes, and we know he did obey the word of the Lord, packed up his family, and left all behind for a land unknown to him. Genesis 12, Karen Cochran. Amen. Good summation of how Abraham answered the call of God. When God said go, that means you got to pick up and go, leave the place you're at and trust God. Notice Proverbs 28:20, a faithful man. Are you, my friend, a faithful man before the Lord? Shall abound or be filled with, overflowing with blessings. But he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. That would be becoming rich in this world, coveting greedily the trinkets and treasures of this fleeting world. So who do we find here God is going to bless? Who is going to be abounding with blessings? Let me read that verse again. This is a simple truth, saints, but it's so vitally important that we live it out every day. A faithful man shall abound with blessing. That's who's going to be blessed. Those that are faithful right where they are. Instead of saying, well, once I have this much money in the bank, once I have this or that, then I'm going to be able to obey God. No, that's not a faithful man. Not faithful to God. He's faithful to himself because, see, he's still the Lord of his own life. He has never really repented and picked his hands and heart up and said, Lord, here is this life for your glory. I offer this life that you made, you gave, and you redeemed as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you, O God. Take me and make me what you want me to be, to glorify thee and thee alone, in Jesus' name. Amen. That's what Paul said we're to pray as he declared, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. In other words, you give yourself completely to him, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Romans 12, verse 1. So it's the faithful man, only the faithful man, that's going to abound with blessing. Like it or not, God has conditions to appropriate his blessings. But rebels hate this reality because they despise personal accountability and personal responsibility. They're rebellion because they've never truly repented, which means you die doornail dead and surrender your life to Christ and the Father. Their rebellion changes nothing of God's nature and his requirements and his conditions. Either repent, be saved, and walk humbly with Christ, or lose your soul for eternity, is what Jesus taught at the end of Mark 8, 34 through 38. True followers of Jesus are doing the work of the gospel, the great commission he gave us. They are diligent. They're not slothful. And this is why they are going to inherit the promises now and forever through faith and patience. Remember, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10 through 12, as we come in for a landing, saints, it says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. You labor out of your love for God and your fellow man in that order, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered, you've labored to minister to the saints, and do minister, you're continuing to minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. You got to endure to the end, faithful to God all the way. No different than a fiance, a woman that's going to be married to a man. She has to be faithful to him all the way to the wedding and all the way through the marriage, or it's a no-go. And so why do we think we can commit adultery on God and it's okay and not even repent and return to him and confess that sin? Wow. Okay, so then he says that ye be not slothful, but rather what? Followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. See, it's through faith and patience, perseverance, enduring through the test, clearly proving your love for God above yourself and all others, passing the test, enduring to the end of the test. That's what it means to, through faith and patience, inherit the promise, ultimately the promise of eternal glory. So it's through faith and patience that we inherit the promise. Promises of God. And that's a daily thing, living by faith and not by sight. And God is not going to forget your labor of love, which you have showed toward his name and do show, in that you are ministering to the saints. And you continue to minister no matter what your situation is. That's when God can say, now that's my daughter, that's my son that's being faithful to me. And that's when his blessing can come. But it's not going to come without seasons of trials and testings. But as you die in those seasons and you are buried, he's going to raise you up more fruitful through all of them, even though it may be little by little. Now, last night, Mark and I were talking about how in 2 years, we have passed out 21,000 gospel tracts and ministered to basically all of those people with the spoken word of God, the team here in Mexico, collectively. And now we reflected upon how by next week, we're going to have 41,000 Jesus tracts total in print since we arrived here 2 years ago, 41,000. And much of that is on the wings of your prayers to God and your support, which is so well needed. So we reflected upon how God is rewarding and he's promoting and blessing. And now we're beginning to more and more abound, as we read in Proverbs 28:20, with these blessings as we're faithful right where we are. That doesn't mean we're perfect. Not at all. That's not the projection here or the deception. No, but we're remaining faithful to the Lord. And he said, if we do that, he's going to abound. The faithful man is going to abound with blessings. The faithful people of God. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. But he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. So we must, by faith and patience or perseverance, obtain the promises of God. So those who run after the things of this world instead of being rich in Christ, which would automatically mean that you're rich in serving him, that would be doing the Great Commission by either or all three of praying, supporting financially, and literally evangelizing, you're going to abound with blessing. Now look at what just happened amidst many of you listening and those on the ground here, is that we went from 21,000 tracts distributed in the first 2 years, and now it's doubling within a month or less to 41,000. Of course, that means 41,000 total in print, with 21,000 already distributed. And one of the witnesses of Christ here that God has so miraculously brought us together with, notably Sister Maria, single-handedly passes out hundreds of Jesus tracts every day. A month ago, I picked up 10,000 of these Jesus tracts, and they're gone already. Every one of them has been put into the hands of the beautiful Mexican people. Let me note this. You're nearly, if ever, going to see a Jesus track on the ground, ever here. You can ask Brother Mark. He'll tell you the same thing. And if you do see one, it probably blew out of somebody's hand. Literally, that's how reverent they are. That's how the name of Jesus and the witnesses of Christ are having an effect on the Mexican people. They are stricken with the fear of God and love for the one that made them when they hear the name of Jesus. Remember, Jesus gave all men and gives all men life. John 1:9. He lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And there's no other name, connect the dots, under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved than the name of Jesus. So when they see and hear the name of Jesus and his glorious gospel, they immediately are ignited. You can visibly see it on their face. And many of them will take you by the hand and want to talk to you. And they profusely thank you for giving them the gospel. And as you look back at times, we try to be discreet about it, they immediately open the tract and start reading it as they walk or as they're sitting down. It's absolutely profound. And thank you and thank God for your faithfulness. And as you're faithful, as I'm faithful, right where we are today with what we have, we all have the temptation of saying, well, I need, you know, this is an emergency fund. It's not big, but I kind of need that to have security in case something happens. Well, there may be a time like God has recently done with me where he says, who are you going to trust? What are you going to trust? You're going to trust that little bit of money you got there in the bank in case your car breaks or something, some small amount of money. Or are you going to say, Lord, I'm offering this to you because there's a need? See, faithfulness to God. Abraham was faithful to God and he was mightily blessed, as you can read about in Genesis and in Hebrews 11. So we should say with Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We're not serving ourselves. We're passing through here. We're strangers and pilgrims. And we're going to be faithful today with exactly what we have in our hands. And God is watching to see if we're going to be faithful with what we already have. And when we are, he's going to multiply it. He's going to add greater responsibility. Notice in the parable of the talents, we see a pattern from God where servants are already, they're already those in his household, his children. They are entrusted with responsibility. One man was given five, one man was given two talents, and another man was given one talent, right? And then the master, that would represent Christ, leaves the earth, the vineyard of the earth, and then he's coming back to take account of the three men and of us, is the illustration, and how they were faithful or not faithful with what he gave them. Don't you know God knows everything we have in our possession? Two hands, two feet, a mouth, food in our cupboard, money in the bank. And at his return, the Lord of that vineyard, if you will, the Lord that gave the 5, 2, and 1 talents, rewarded and promoted accordingly. The unfaithful man that was given one talent and buried it was cut off. He was sent into outer darkness where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so if you don't think this faithfulness is connected to your eternity, you may want to think again. Because you can say one thing, but the fruit of your life and how much you're truly trusting God is seen in your daily walk, where you should be declaring that you're a stranger and a pilgrim in this life, in this world today, and you're looking for a continuing, an eternal city, a place with the Lord Jesus and His Father and the saints of the ages, those that trusted Him. Remember, the same chapter of Hebrews 11 says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. God wants to reward every one of us, but He's not going to do that unless we diligently seek Him. He's not going to promote you to greater responsibility in His kingdom on this earth right now in this life until you're faithful right where you are. With whatever He's already given you. Isn't that what Job's life looked like? Where God allowed calamity to come on him and he lost all his children. And then he declared, even though his wife was telling him to curse God, Job declared, Lord, though you slay me, yet well, I trust you. I'm going to love and trust you by faith, no matter what, because I love you. I'm here to worship you, no matter what happens in this world. See, Job was faithful, and you'll see at the end of the book of Jude, where God doubled all of his blessings, and he had the most beautiful children in the world, in the earth. Would that have happened if Job wasn't faithful to God? No, that would not have happened. But Job was faithful to God, and that's what God's calling us to do right now. Throwing our hands up to him in fresh repentance and saying, Lord, increase my faith. Increase the faith of your people. I declare that I'm a stranger and a pilgrim in this life. I'm only passing through, and I'm here to worship and love you and trust you and to use everything you've given me, this mouth, these hands, these feet, these tracks, this money, these prayers to glorify you in the Great Commission as I look for your soon return. James 1:25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, that would be the gospel of Jesus Christ, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. God is going to reward us and promote us with greater responsibility only as we are faithful right where we are, saints, right where we are. We can trust God, and God could trust Abraham. Can God trust you? Can God trust me? As you read Hebrews 11 afresh, you may want to behold, and you will, what the heroes of the faith endured and how they remained faithful to the Lord. God remains faithful to us, even when men do not remain faithful to Him. Yet He's faithful to Himself and not to those who deny Him. He cannot deny Himself, we read in 2 Timothy 2. And He says that He's going to deny those who deny Him. So do you think that eternity and your eternal place with God or not with God is tied up in your trusting God, in your faith presently with God? Remember, He's a rewarder of only those who diligently seek Him. Are you diligently seeking the Lord and His strength and seeking His face continually? 1 Chronicles 16:11. You see, the lives of the patriarchs and the apostles make it clear that none of us could possibly come to know and to trust God deeply until we walk with Him by faith. We love Him. We worship, serve, and obey Him by faith as He leads us through this life, through seasons of thick and thin, of little and much, of testing and affliction. You see, faith is forged in these fiery trials, not in fairy tales of false faith by those who recline on fancy furniture instead of fighting ferocious foes and fighting the good fight of faith. Jesus Christ is King, and we can't know Him closely until we begin to suffer with Him. 1 Peter 1:5-9, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold or a variety of temptations. That the trial of your faith, is your faith on trial? Yes, it is. The trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with with fire, tested, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen with your physical eyes, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let us pray, saints. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you to do a fresh work all the way to the core of our being, Lord, that we would declare that we're merely strangers and pilgrims in this earth. We are bought by your blood. We're no longer our own. We're yours. We love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And let it be that we be found with our hand on the plow of your work, your great commission work, faithful to you, seeking first your kingdom and not worrying about tomorrow, but loving you in the moment, with hearts and hands lifted, declaring that we are yours. We're no longer our own. We're bought with a price. Now, Lord, do a work from this moment on that we would be faithful to you supremely, enduring to the end, trusting you, and knowing that you're giving us the victory now and forever. And we say in the words of the Apostle Paul, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.